My name is Janice Goodman, and I have been here at Holden now since June the 5th, so this will be my 23rd day here. And during that time, I have made this will be the 15th presentation on the subject of American Indians. Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock is a hard slot, and I've had it 3 times, so I really appreciate your coming out to be with me today. What I gave for the title is Walking Tall, The Sioux Will Rise Again. This is a very hopeful ending to my series. I began with sessions on the inheritance, the legacy of relationships between the Indians and the non-Indians in the United States. And in one word, the legacy is shameful. And the inheritance is a difficult issue. Then I did 3 presentations on survival, some of the survival issues that are affecting Indian people today. Preservation of the land, water rights, fishing rights. And so today, I'd like to turn to the future. And out of that comes the title, The Sioux Will Rise Again. I am Lakota, is my tribal background. That's Oglala Sioux, out of Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And that is my tribal home. Like many Indian people, I do not spend very much time, and have not spent very much time, in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. But it is always, for me, a sacred place. My people were moved to the reservation after a life on the plains, and before that, a life in the beautiful Ohio Valley, if any of you have been in that area. That's the original, some of the original homelands of those people who were the Sioux people. Another name that I have is Nusukya Ayak, which is a Coast Salish name from the Pacific Northwest. It means the Silver Salmon Woman, and I just got that name this year. And I lift it up to you now because it's a part of my story. Before I begin, I would like to share with you what has been for me one of the most exciting parts of my experience here at Holden. In the Lakota traditions, we have traditionally prayed to the 6 directions. And as an Indian Lutheran who has been Lutheran for many, many years, I started out Lutheran when I was 7. I went to Luther League and confirmation, and I went to PLU. And so I feel like I've tasted Lutefisk, and I've made some of my closest friends have been Scandinavian people. As a Lutheran Indian, it's been real important to me to share my Indian culture in a Lutheran, a Christian context. And so during these 15 sessions, I have been leading prayers to the 6 directions, creating them, writing them each day. And that has been, for me, one of the most exciting elements of my experience here. So I'd like to open our session today with a prayer to the 6 directions. So if you would please join me, and some of you who are in the back, if we can, it would be very helpful if we had a complete closed circle. There's some spaces over here. There's a couple people who just walked in, and I know we can make room for them. There is a Lakota teaching that there are 2 pathways. One is the sacred red road, And the sacred red road is a circle. And when we stand with each other in this manner, men and women side by side, equal, each of us from our own perspective with great integrity and importance, this is standing on the sacred red road. We are in this moment in right relationship with each other. The other direction is the sacred blue road, the connection between us and our Creator. And if you think of circles and spheres, the sacred red road becomes the sacred blue road as the ball turns. So this is very Christian, in that Christian scripture of when two or more are gathered together in my name, there will I be also. And so, as we stand, let us allow us ourselves to experience the presence of our Creator. And let us turn to the direction of the east, to the direction of the rising sun. And as we send a voice in the direction of the rising sun, let us see this moment as a new dawning, a sun rising, that our lives, our separate lives, have come from many different directions, but for some reason the Creator has brought us into this circle, into this right relationship with each other. Your precious lives are here teaching me. In my tradition, you are my brothers and sisters. We are family with each other. And as we face the direction of the east, we send out a voice together, a voice that science tells us is a wave that goes out around the planet, even out into space. So we let our voice be a voice of hope that in the midst of the history of the relationships between Indians and non-Indians, there is this reality that we are all family together, we are all human, and there is above us a Creator. There is beyond what we are, one who brings order and beauty and light. And we send a voice in this direction, a voice that embraces our planet across America, the Atlantic, Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Russia, China, and Australia. This voice proclaims that we are one planet and one family with each other. We turn to the south. The color of this direction is the color of black. And as we face this direction, we acknowledge the truth that exists in this country, that there has been a history between our ancestors, a history of warfare, of greed, of evil. And yet, we acknowledge, when we acknowledge the pain and the guilt and the problems that exist, we have opened ourselves on a sacred blue road to a healing, to a gentle night, and embracing darkness. When we name the truth of our relationships and the reality of our lives, we provide an opening. By showing how empty our history is, we open ourselves to the fullness of God. And so we send a voice of hope in the direction of the South, a voice of hope that touches the relationship between Indians and non-Indians. And more than that, that gives us direction for the relationships between our land and the peoples in Central and South America, to the peoples on the other side of the planet, to India, Pakistan, Nepal, Russia, Afghanistan, all of these areas of land. We send a voice in the direction of the south, the direction of the color black, and in that we embrace as our brothers and sisters those who come from the race of the black people, the Negro. Surely we are family with each other. Return to the west, to the direction of the setting sun. And with the reality of the setting sun, we acknowledge the ending of what is past, the ending of everything that has gone beyond, before this moment. Surely our lives, our precious lives, are not forever. And we acknowledge as the sun sets that we ourselves are limited, and yet we accept with maturity and responsibility our role in providing a pathway for the next generation, unto the seventh generation, to the 77th generation. As we look to the direction of the setting sun and the color red, we embrace all those peoples who are Indian and Chicano, Mexican, Central and South American Native peoples, indigenous peoples all over the world, whose lives are changing. And yet, in the changing, as much as the beauty of the setting sun is an incredible gift, unequaled, even so, the gifts that are available to our world out of the lives of the indigenous peoples who are struggling to survive, even to this very minute and hour, is a tremendous and beautiful thing. And it is with great hope that we send up a voice in this direction, across the Pacific, to Japan and China, across Russia, the Middle East, and Southern Africa, across Europe, praying for healing and peace in this direction for the people in Ireland and Scotland and the Middle East and in Africa. Let there be a setting sun in our lives to our violence and our hatred and our hunger and our loneliness. Let there be a promise with the ending of the day that there will be a new day. And we turn to the north. As we face this direction, we lift up our heads with courage, knowing that the future is not an easy one. That winter, even as we have celebrated the equinox while I've been here, winter is coming as surely as we are standing here in the heat of the summer day. The wheel of the heavens has turned, and we are losing minutes of daylight. And we are losing time to solve some of the important and critical issues that face us. Like the animals rushing to prepare for winter, we are accepting the responsibility and reality of preparing ourselves to do the work that is left for us in our limited lifetimes, the work of dismantling the machine of destruction, the nuclear threat, the work of ending hunger in the world, the work of freeing all oppressed peoples, including the Native American peoples and all the rest of the indigenous peoples in our world. And we face the north looking toward the winter, toward the white, the cold, out of which comes our strength, the leanness that helps us to reach into the very depth and core of our being for that inner fire and that inner strength, which is healing, which is powerful, which brings light to a dark world. So we look to the north with great hope. We return to the east. And as we turn to the east, we look down and we see the reality of our own physical bodies, the limitations of our hands, the weaknesses of our minds, the racism and ignorance, the obsessive illnesses that we have experienced in our lives, so many of us. And yet we see also the incredible order and gift and beauty of our own physical body. We acknowledge in this moment, as we stand here with our gifts and our limitations, that it is important and significant that we are the unique and individual people that we are. And as we pray here with our feet on our Mother Earth, we center ourselves, reaching down into the deep roots of God's love, sucking up as water and nutrition what we need for growth, for healing, for fertility, for flowering and fruit-bearing and productive lives. In this moment, as we look towards ourselves and our Mother Earth, we recognize and acknowledge our oneness with all of the living planet, with the rocks and the soil that is so integral to our very life, with the water that we make a commitment to preserve pure and holy for the use of all generations into the future, for our beautiful land, for the resources, the soil, the plants, the trees that are not always renewable. And we make a commitment to ourselves with our feet on Mother Earth, trusting in the fertility and gentleness of our Creator, to continue to do our part, co-creating life, bringing wildness, bringing water to the desert, keeping life, holding all life, including our own, sacred. And as we look up, we stop with voices that tremble with awe and wonder at a Creator that is more than Father, more than Mother, more than flame or word or breath of God. As we look up, we visualize ourselves on this beautiful blue marble, this tiny planet in a vast desert universe, this spring of life and light, whirling through space in an incredible dance, a spiral galaxy. And we know, as we stand in this circle on the sacred red road, that the sacred blue connection between us and our Creator says that we are empty and human, not Creator, not God. And in that there is the most security and the most hope. There is an answer, and that answer is in the face of our Creator. And together we say, Mitakuyase, which means we are all related. Mitakuyase, we are all related. Thank you. The story that we have today is a real exciting one. It's one of hope. The hope is that the Indian people, the original native indigenous peoples, Eskimo and Aleut, Athabascan, and we could really do a wonderful thing just sitting here naming all the wonderful and beautiful names. These people are very much alive. They have a strong will to survive, and they will continue to survive, not only as groups and classes of people within our nation, but as individuals. My own personal journey began more than 2 years ago, many years ago, but I will begin with more than 2 years ago, when in response to a final decision to say I'm willing to go into ministry, a professor at the Pacific Lutheran University, his name is Dr. Stuart Govig, directed me to read a book called Wounded Healer. And I want to share this with you because I think this is a pathway for our country in relationships with Indian people. The story of the Wounded Healer is an old traditional story that says that the Messiah is sitting at the beggar's gate amongst all the other wounded. And you will know the Messiah because he is the one who is uncovering his wounds one at a time so that he can rise up quickly and minister to the needs of us, anyone who is calling for his help. And when I read the story of the wounded healer, it gave me permission as a woman and as an Indian person to end the denial that existed in my life personally and that exists in our history of the exact relationship between the Indian and the non-Indian, between Janice and the other people in her world, and Janice and her own self. I think that by taking the time to read any number of a group of excellent books that tell you the history of what happened between the Indian, the original native indigenous peoples, the Eskimos, the Aleuts, all of the people in this country, between the times before the settlers came and now, so a book such as Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, another book recommended by the National Indian Lutheran Board, American Indians and Christian Missions, which is in the, on a reserve shelf in the library, another book written by Alvin Josephy called Now That the Buffalo Is Gone. Just three suggestions of places to begin. We do what the wounded healer suggests that we do. We uncover the wounds. And by uncovering our wounds in our country, I think we make it possible for a letting in of light and a beginning of a healing. And that certainly has been part of the process for me. Uncovering my wounds this last 2 years has been a very painful process. It has been very painful during my time here at Holden to sit with caring people like yourselves and go through the stories of betrayal, the stories of racist genocide, the stories that that are out there that are very difficult for all of us to deal with, to face the issues of where we are wounded as a country in our history. And yet, even as that journey was so painful for me personally and is painful to people, particularly those of us who are in the church, when we take the courage necessary, and one of the things that was real important to me in the last 2 years is a little statement that someone gave me that anger and courage are the daughters of hope. And many times as I've sat in this circle sharing with people in this last 15 sessions, you see the seeds of anger, anger at our own country, anger at the greed that exists, the evil that exists in our world. And yet there is courage. Courage in you who are sitting here willing to hear. There is tremendous courage in the lives of those people who are surviving today as Indian people, who live daily with the racist stereotypes that have contributed to the history of pain and suffering in this country. And so it's very wonderful to come now to the end of the circle. One of the images that we have been sharing during this time is an image shared by Matthew Fox recently at the LCA Synod Convention in the Pacific Northwest. I asked Matthew if he'd been talking at Synod Convention in several hours conversation, lots and lots and lots of words, and I asked him if you could tell us what you were trying to teach us about creation-centered spirituality, which is very much related to Native American spirituality. And you couldn't use any words. What would you teach us? And he immediately, without saying a word, reached out and grabbed the hands of the people next to him and began to set us going into a spiral dance. And it blew my mind away what he said, because it just captures in one image so much of the teaching that I think is so important that when we end our denial of the wounds that are within us, we open ourselves up to healing personally and as a nation. And the light of healing is so beautiful and so exciting. The spiral dance is a situation which we danced, and I think we'll do it again tomorrow night in folk dancing with Paul Nussel, where we join hands together. And when you think about it, it is the right relationship that we have between people, men and women, children, elders, moving, touching very lightly. And our lives touch each other and are so connected, but very lightly, as in a dance, with tremendous integrity in the hands of every single dancer, each of us having an important role in completing the spiral. That the relationships between us are not hierarchical, but are relational, and that we're always in motion, and that we can step out, that doing the spiral dance, taking it one step at a time, you never are alone, and you never are without a pattern, because you're always following the step of one behind, the one in front. In the spiral dance, you whirl inward, and in that whirl, you look out at times in the turning. You look around and you see the faces of those that are with you. And yet other times you look within, you know. You touch down on your own personal journey. And as you who are sitting here and share with me, go out and see with new eyes the Indian people that exist within 200 miles of your own home, no matter where you live in this country. There are Indian people who are still surviving 500 years of history. And as you see them with new eyes and hear the sounds that they have to say, I think you'll find in a wonderful way that they have a tremendous gift for you. That as our brothers and sisters who are the native indigenous peoples of this country join us in our spiral dance, they bring to us a sense of connectedness with all of creation that we need. We are a country that has brought ourselves to the brink of destruction, and we need to hear, as Lutherans and as Christians and as people of the world, the truth that our elders have been teaching us, that we are related to the very stones, the birds, the four-legged and two-legged creatures. Everything that swims in the sea is important to us. What is happening to the salmon? And I tell you, I am a silver salmon woman. That is the woman, the fish that first comes up the river. And she comes up the river to bring life to the people after a very hard winter. It is awesome to me to have the responsibility of this name. And yet, it is exciting to be able to have been taught by Lutherans the truth that there is, for all of us, our Creator, who has in the resources of a cattle on a thousand hills, the answers that we each personally, as we uncover our wounds, need so desperately, and that we as a country, as we uncover our wounds, our woundedness, in relationship with our native indigenous peoples, in relationship with the people who are black, in our relationships with our Chicano and Mexican brothers and sisters, the Asian peoples who have had such an important role in building up this country. When we end the denial and bring light in and understand, as in a spiral dance, that we are all related and we are all connected to each other. Not only as a separate nation, but as a world, as a nation within a family of nations. And that if we have a conflict or a problem with each other, the most important thing, one of the most sacred ceremonies of the Lakota tradition, is Hunk Papa, the making of relationship, the making of relationship with each other, the looking at each other and saying, We are brother and sister to each other, you who are my age. We are mother and father to each other, you who are old enough to be my mother and father. We are grandmother and grandfather, you who are old enough to be my grandmother and my grandfather. And those who are younger than I am, the ones I work with in Narnia, are my children, just like my children are your children. And those that are not born are all our children. And we have the responsibility, the maturity, and the demand by the worth of our Creator to preserve. Recently, Doug sang a song in which he presented a little bit of a new translation to that Genesis theme that says, go and make dominion over all the earth. And the way that Doug translated it, it's go and almost make relationship with all the earth.